In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the things that I appreciate about the Christian faith, and especially the Orthodox Christian faith, is our willingness to hold together sometimes what seem to be competing ideas, to embrace the paradox of this world, life, and to, again, sometimes hold together things that may seem to contradict and try to make sense of them or try to accept the fact that there is often a lot of gray in this world, that things aren't always black and white. And I noticed in reading the epistle today one of these instances where we hold together two things, two different competing ideas. Because we heard from St. Paul in the fifth chapter to the Romans that through him, through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have obtained access by faith to this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And then he goes on, even more than that, even more than sharing in the glory of God, we rejoice in our sufferings. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. We rejoice in our sufferings. Fascinating that Paul would say that, because we see throughout all of the gospel that Jesus' work was essentially to relieve suffering. We heard today in the Matins Gospel, in fact, that when Jesus sent out his disciples, part of the mission that he gave them was to heal others, to physically heal them, but also to heal them spiritually and emotionally. We have in one of the Vesperus hymns, I can't remember which tone it's in, but we sing it once every 8 weeks because we cycle through the tones. By thy passion, passion in Greek means suffering. By thy passion, O Christ, by thy suffering, O Christ, we have been set free from suffering. And yet here Paul tells us that even more than rejoicing in the glory of God, we rejoice in our sufferings. We hold together these two separate things. And in fact, again, we might even say correctly that the essence of living out the Christian faith is to reduce suffering in this world. You know, in ancient times, in the time of Jesus, the world, the Western world for sure, the ancient Near East and so forth, was much different than the world that we live in today. In fact, one might say that the point of rising to the top in that world, and for most people, you couldn't rise to the top, you were either born there or you were born below that. But the point of being at the top, in some sense, was to inflict suffering on others, or at least to be able to do that and to get away with it. And for that not to be seen as a problem because you are above others. But Jesus teaches us a different path. As he said to his disciples, do not be like the Gentiles. In other words, don't be like these people who are around you, these people that are rulers. Because again, the Gentiles were ruling the area in which the disciples and Jesus himself lived. Do not be like the Gentiles who lord their power over you, who cause suffering upon others to show their power. But you, if you are to rule, are to serve, even as I, Jesus, came to serve, he tells them. The purpose, one of the main purposes of our life as Christians is to relieve the sufferings in others. We have in our midst today, in fact, as a side note, we have back Deacon James and Rosemary. Deacon James, being a good and faithful Christian, has been awarded, and he's back to receive an award this week from the Wichita Business Journal, a Lifetime Achievement Award. What is his lifetime achievement in medicine? Well, it was essentially to relieve the suffering of others, to try to ensure that others didn't suffer as much as they would without his work and without the work of the common scientific and medical community that tries to relieve the suffering in other people. Yet at the same time, brothers and sisters, when we can recognize that that is part of our job and our responsibility as Christians, we sing and we praise God for his suffering that frees us from our suffering in the eternal sense. And at the same time, we still recognize that there's suffering in this world. That no matter what you and I do, there will still be suffering. And the reason for that we profess as Christians is because of our sin. Because we often fall short of the gospel commandments. And because of our shortcomings, because of our sin, we sometimes inadvertently even inflict suffering on others. For which we, of course, repent and we confess. And sometimes others inflict suffering on us, whether it's on purpose or by accident. But what St. Paul is telling us is that when these things happen to us, even though we try to avoid inflicting suffering in this world, when these things happen to us, we have two different ways of viewing them. We can curse our suffering, we can be mad, we can be angry because someone or something has caused us to suffer, or we can redeem that suffering. And that again is a major aspect of Christian spirituality, is recognizing that even in the midst of the bad things that happen in this world, even when we have gone against God's will, because God is God, and because he loves us, and because he suffered for us, we can redeem these things. We can redeem what was originally evil. We can redeem our suffering. And the way that we redeem it, brothers and sisters, is recognizing that it produces in us, as St. Paul says, endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And what is human life without hope? You know, in Family Promise, we just hosted them recently, one of their sayings I like is, hope changes the narrative. What does a homeless person, a homeless family have except for hope that tomorrow will be a better day than today? And why do they have hope? They have hope because of people like us. People of faith who try to relieve their suffering, who try to help them. And so we hold these two ideas in tandem. On the one hand, recognizing that part of our responsibility is to relieve the suffering of others. And on the other hand, when suffering occurs, to redeem it. And to recognize that it produces in us endurance, which produces character, which produces hope. And there's no other way, unfortunately, for us to be able to have this type of hope, but to have character, which comes from endurance, which comes from suffering. You know, I often use this analogy with people, whether it's about patience, or whether it's about, in this case, suffering, which ultimately leads to endurance, which leads to character, which leads to hope. I use the analogy of lifting weights. You know, if you go into the gym, unless you know you weigh 300 pounds, don't expect to be able to squat 300 pounds if you walk into the gym and haven't been doing any lifting. You have to work up to that. Your body has to be stressed. And you stress it a little bit at a time. And as you start to stress it over time, you're able to do more. But you're only able to do more because you stress your body with that weight. The same thing is true, brothers and sisters, if we want to gain endurance and we want to gain character and we want to gain hope. You have to be stressed. You have to have some sort of suffering. It's just the way that the world works. And so St. Paul invites us today, and I invite you today, when you have this stress in your life, when you have this suffering in your life, instead of getting mad about it, instead of cursing it, instead of having a bad attitude, redeem it. Remember that God Himself, in His Son, through His Son Jesus Christ, has suffered for our sake so that we might redeem the suffering in this world, that we might offer it back to Him, that we might ultimately gain hope, and through that hope we might strive to relieve the suffering in others. To our suffering God, who poured out Himself for us, be all glory, honor, and worship forever and ever. Amen.